from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com. This is the Press Box.
What's cracking, everybody? Welcome to the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Beyond Air Network. I'm your host, Corey. I got Jacob. I got Jen on the boards. I'm excited to be here. Got a lot going on today, a lot of sports to talk. Finally, all the sports are going at once, or almost going at once. So a lot of news, a lot of things going on, a lot to handle. We're going to get right into it and do some headlines. Why don't you go ahead and give me your headline first?
Yeah, so old Zach Greinke has been up to some antics this year, and I'll tell you what, I love it. Just today, Zach Greinke tells Rangers Elvis Andrews, nice take after he watches a ball, and the very next pitch, he struck him out. And this just continues what Greinke's been kind of doing all year. He's been giving signs to the catcher of what pitch he's going to throw. He's been yelling, he's been calling him out, and still like succeeding. I think this is kind of what baseball needs. It needs to be fun like this. Maybe don't take yourself too seriously, but at the same time, still play to your best ability. And I just love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually really legendary. That's like a cool thing to do, you know. I wouldn't have the cojones to do that, I don't no. think. I mean, I'm not no major league
pitcher. Especially
with
your fastball going 89 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, but that's ballsy, but it's awesome that he did it and that it happened, you know. We'd be talking about something completely different if, you know, he would have got hit, you know, a home run or something like that. But I think it's pretty cool that he's kind of taken, you know, having some fun with it, you know, because there has been a lot of stuff going on with baseball about, you know, the whole
unwritten rules exactly. And swinging 3-0.
Right, all that stuff. And people being too serious. And I think that's a big reason, you know, why baseball has been dying over the years and not as popular as it could be, because there's almost no fun to it, you know. So it's good to hear. I didn't even really even hear about it until you told me. So I never really liked Zach Greinke personally.
Yeah, as a Rockies fan, now that he's out of our division, but it still seems like we get to play the Astros like every single year. But he's always been a guy that I'm like, this guy, he seems very cocky. I didn't like him, like I said, when he was in the division, but I still had some sort of respect for him just because he was so good with not power stuff. And to be good with power stuff to me is so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a guy like Dallas Braden, who like threw a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. His fastball was the same way. Got up to 88, 90% of the time. Maybe he could run it up to 90, 91. But you see with those types of guys, there's just, it's almost like there's a wire loose in their head. And they have to bring it. They have to bring this attitude, because if they don't, they're going to get knocked around. So they got to bring this head, this mental aptitude to the game to say, hey, no, I am better than you. I'm going to strike your butt out, and you don't have anything to say about it. I'll even tell you what's coming.
Right, yeah, kind of getting in their head and kind of messing with the hitter. Definitely, I think I agree with that. You know, if you don't have that overpowering stuff, you got to be a little more crafty. You know, that's like back in the older days, they would, you know, have the Vaseline on them and, you know, doing all the spitballs and things like that to try to get that extra edge. So, you know, it's kind of the same idea, but now it's just kind of, and it's awesome now that there's no like fan sound. So you can like hear a lot of more of it. You know, there's a lot more of that chatter.
Absolutely.
And you can capture that and hear all that stuff.
I've kind of been saying this since the start of it. And since like, it was like, okay, there's not going to be any fans. I would pay money to get a feed of no additional noise, just the announcers, just the players on the field, just their audio. And make it like a premium type of deal where kids can't see it, so you can hear all the F-bombs they drop and whatnot. Because that makes the game exciting to me. It's like when, not to veer off on too much of a tangent, but it's like when Dustin Johnson in the golf tournament a few weeks ago, I can't remember which one it was, but he dropped like 3 F-bombs within like 10 seconds of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And the mics caught it, and it was awesome. I mean, it was so relatable, because who hasn't been there on a golf course where you hit a shot, you're like, oh man, that's beautiful, 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 kerplunk right into the sand, and you're just, ah, F this, F that, whenever I go play golf, I ask myself, why do I even play this stupid game? It just gets me upset.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you would think that they would want to make some of their players more relatable, you know, less of yeah. that wall, and people would become bigger fans of some of those players. Because, you know, when he did that, everybody was like, oh, I love Dustin Johnson. I totally relate to what he was feeling, because I do that all the time when I golf as well. You know, I'm dropping F-bombs left and right because I'm not good at it. But, you know, that's the sport right. for me. So I think another thing, it's kind of, but, you know, they've been capturing like all that grunting too when the pitchers have been yep. pitching, which is like just hilarious to hear.
It's like
you know?
You're watching a tennis match.
Yeah, exactly. It's just wild. So this is COVID sports, I guess. And, you know, there's probably going to be a lot more of it coming up as we go down the stretch. So
absolutely.
So the headline I got, and this is, you know, not the biggest headline in the world, but Steve Nash gets signed by the Nets to be the coach. He has no coaching experience at the NBA level at all. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, a great point guard. But, you know, what does he bring as a coach? And that's just kind of what I don't understand. You know, they signed this guy. The Nets have been having trouble with coaches and with having a good team for a while. And they sign Steve Nash, who has no coaching experience. You know, I mean, how does that work? How can you, you know, in the NFL or the MLB or basically any other sport, that's probably never going to happen. But, you know.
You see it all the time in basketball. I mean, look at the Golden State coach, Steve Kerr. I mean, he didn't have any previous coaching experience either, right?
But wasn't he an assistant?
He might
have
been.
For a little bit?
That's a possibility. I just kind of did a quick search and I don't know.
It just blows yeah, my mind.
They must see something in him in that interview process where they said, hey, it looks like this guy is a leader. We know that from when he was playing, and that's kind of what this team needs. They need, not that KD isn't one, but Nash can really bring them together, and I'm assuming that's what they're going for.
Well, what's wrong with the coach that they had in the bubble? I mean, they made it into the play. Or,
for sure, and
well,
they were impressive.
Did they make it into the playoffs? Or they were pretty close, I
yeah,
thought.
If they didn't, they were right there on the edge.
Right. It makes you think, well, what's an NBA coach really do if they can just hire right. a former basketball player? I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Derek Fisher, because he was a coach of the Lakers for a while. Luke Walton mm-hmm. was a coach for a while. Mike Bibby, didn't yep. he coach the Nets
so.
For a while?
I think so.
Or when they were in New Jersey, yep. I think he was the coach. So it's like kind of the same idea to me, at least, you know, what does a basketball coach really do then?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's probably not all about the X's and O's for the coach. It's probably what they bring to the table. And it is probably a little bit scary to see for next year's Nets team, because this coach did do so well. It's like when the Washington Capitals fired their coach after winning the Stanley Cup. You're just kind of like, this doesn't make any sense. And they didn't go very far in the playoffs this year.
Right.
So, I don't know.
It's just interesting to me, and there's been a lot of discussion about white privilege for coaches after this hire, because, you know, he has no experience. There's probably right. other guys that have been in the waiting for this type of job, and they go with Steve Nash. Now, here's an interesting quote from Mike D'Antoni I saw on Twitter. They were asking him if Steve Nash was involved with any game planning as a Suns point guard, and he said the game plan was to get it to Steve, and Steve, you figure it out. So, yeah, he was pretty involved. So, I mean, you know, maybe he's running the offense as the point guard. He has an idea, obviously, of how to run a certain type of offense, which I think is fine. But I think it kind of came out of nowhere. I woke up and saw that news and was kind of like, I didn't know he was a coach or, you know, had any interest in being
a
coach.
Yeah, for sure. And to me, the kind of layman basketball fan, I when I saw it, same way I woke up, and it didn't surprise me, but I was just kind of like, oh, it actually kind of made sense to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a name that I know, and he seems like he was a smart basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he can do something with the guys that they got there. You know, they have Kyrie, they got KD, they have, who else? They got, what's his name, Dinwiddie. Yeah, I mean, they have a pretty good team.
Yeah,
they've had some injuries, and
with how well they did in the bubble without KD and without Kyrie, I mean, that this team is definitely a team to look out for next year. I think if you're into the sports gambling arena, I think it's an easy place to sprinkle a little money on a championship or make it to the finals at the very least.
I like that. That's a nice take. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I could see it. You know, definitely interesting though, you know, especially for Steve Nash. It's just so weird. He's out of nowhere. I just never.
Yeah, never. For sure.
But you know, I mean, there's a lot of discussion going on. Stephen A. Smith said he'd be a good coach, but he said that, you know, this is white privilege. This would not happen for a black man. That's Stephen A. Smith said that, I think, today on what's that show he's on, First Take,
or yeah,
or whatever the yep. talk show where he yells about. So there's I'm sure a lot of discussion going on, but that's the new head coach for the Nets. So we'll see how that goes for them. And if
maybe,
you know,
it's actually Steve Privilege.
Steve Privilege.
Steve Nash and Steve Kerr. Yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know. I mean, I asked somebody about it today, and they said, well, he knew how to pass the ball really well, so maybe he's going to bring some type of teamwork passing ability to the Nets. So guess we'll find out.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Unknown for that. So got a lot going on. Like I said, we got sports, all the sports, a week from today. The NFL will be starting. We got NHL playoffs going on. We have
Avs are looking to push it to the next round.
Exactly. We have the NBA playoffs going on. We have MLB. It's all in full swing. So, you know, coming up next, we are going to get into some more news and notes about one of the bigger sports that is about to start, NFL. And then we're most likely going to break down the MLB, the Rockies, what's wrong with them, can they get anything figured out, stuff like that. So next, we're talking MLB and the NFL. This has been the Press Box, GoMileHigh.com, part of the Beat On Air Network.
Hey Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama. His laminescence.
Really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hurry, young Popsy. We must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
The NFL, 1 week away. Kansas City, Houston. I'm excited. You excited?
Oh, man. I mean, look, I love my baseball, but nothing gets me jonesed up quite like football, man. It's just, it's going to be so great to have it back.
That's exactly how I feel, too. You know, and like 1 week from now, we're going to have real football. We haven't had preseason, which, you know, you when you have preseason, you're like, oh, I don't like it. This sucks. I don't want to watch it. But when you don't have it, you're like, man, I really miss watching two teams play.
It doesn't feel like football's about here. It feels like football is still like 4 or 5 weeks away.
Yeah, I know. And it's weird that there's going to be a game and it's going to be real and it's going to be worth something. So really excited about that. A lot of news notes have been kind of going on in the last couple of days. So Leonard Fournette, he had been released by the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of rumors of where he was going to go. He got a deal. He signed with the Buccaneers. Adds to that backfield of Ronald Jones, LeSean McCoy, and the rookie Keyshawn Vaughn, which he won't be doing much. He'll be returning kicks and stuff. Arians came out today and said that Rojo is our guy, which you can't really trust Arians about.
Maybe
that
for
stuff.
Like the first 2 or 3 weeks until Leonard Fournette learns the playbook. But I think this is, I mean, Fournette's just too good of a running back.
Yeah, I mean, and I think with that, it's going to be who does Tom Brady want in the backfield with him? You know, LeSean McCoy, it's going to be third down back, see if he still has something
pass
in him.
Pass protection type of guy.
Yeah, can he come in and, you know, play third down? But, you know, he wasn't even good enough to suit up for the Super Bowl for the Chiefs, so he can't have a whole lot left in the tank, in my personal opinion. You know, Leonard Fournette, I go both ways on him. You know, he's good, but he's been really, really inefficient. You know, he has averaged 4 yards per carry, but that's on 66 carries over 3 years. They just used him a bunch. You know, he was in Jacksonville, not the greatest offensive line, sure, but still, you know, not the greatest efficiency. You know, everyone's really excited about that, about him going to the Buccaneers. We'll see what happens, but I mean, I think that's probably the best spot for him to go. You know, he could have went to the Bears or to the Eagles or something like that. But overall, I think that's probably the best.
Yeah, I mean, I think the landing spot makes sense for everybody because I'm not the biggest Ronald Jones fan, whether it comes to fantasy or real-life football. Last year, he just didn't show me enough. His pass protection wasn't there. They've said he's improved. They said he added 30 pounds, which I don't always love for running backs at the NFL. I'd rather have them lose weight than add it because it seems whenever running backs add weight, it just wears their body down faster and they just can't take as many hits, which doesn't make sense in the when you kind of think about it, but their body's just not used to having so much weight to lug around and throw around.
Yeah, I mean, 30 pounds is a lot for a running back. That is a lot of weight. And, I mean, he was in good shape last year. He had some good runs, some nice, you know, breakouts and breakaway runs and stuff like that. I think I heard that he played about 45% of the snaps last year with Peyton Barber. There was a lot of mix-up there, you know, though Arians would say, oh, Ronald Jones is a starter.
And
then
Barber
that week he wouldn't even
12
play.
Carries,
yeah, it didn't make any sense. So definitely something to...
Mbunga Wale was in there for...
And he's still on the team, too.
Amount, yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys there, but, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see everybody... reaction at first, and this is what I don't understand, is, oh, Bucks are going to the Super Bowl. Well, why are they going to the Super Bowl? Because they added Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I mean, that I feel like that's probably just a bunch of confirmation bias from people who already thought the Bucks were going to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, I'm not going to say they're not going to. I think that they are probably overvalued, and I wouldn't place a bet on them. They're probably not good enough odds. I like the Saints to win the division.
I mean, they still have to deal with the Saints.
And the Falcons, it's practically a brand new team with a Todd Gurley there and revamped offensive line and whatnot. So I think they've got some tough sledding to go. I do think they make the playoffs, and Tom Brady in the playoffs, anything can happen. He can make a run. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it. They do have a good defense, but I don't know. I mean, there's just such good competition, let alone in their division, but in that whole conference.
Yeah, I know. And that's just, everyone was rushing to say, well, they're going to, I told you they're going to the Super Bowl. It's like, okay, Leonard Fournette is good, but he's not that good. So,
I mean, look at the Carolina Panthers. They have the best running back in the league, and they're going to win maybe four games.
Yeah, I think they're like 30th in power
rankings.
Yeah,
I mean, running backs are, you don't need an excellent running back to be a good team. Because you have an excellent running back doesn't make you a good team. What matters is your offensive line, your big guys up front on the defensive side, and your quarterback.
Yeah, so we'll see. That'll be interesting to see. Some other news basically came out. Anthony Lynn said Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starter for all the whole year, basically. He said he's our guy, which we'll see. You know, they said that kind of in the Browns last year with mm-hmm. Baker. They said, oh, it's going to be Tyrod, and couple of games went by and they said, well, we probably should give Baker a shot because what are we wasting our time with Tyrod? So I don't know if I believe him, but
yeah, I have a feeling that it's true because I do not like Justin Herbert. I think that was a reach. I graded every single round one trade or round one pick from the draft this year, and I think I gave the Chargers like a D+. I don't like Herbert whatsoever. I don't think he's the quarterback of the future. I think he is a worse version of Josh Allen, where he doesn't have the running ability. Sure, he's got a pretty good arm, but when it comes down to it in pressure situations, he just has showed over and over again at Oregon that he just can't get it done.
And he was like really inaccurate on like medium to like medium long range passes, which like almost all the NFL routes are ran in that distance.
Yes.
And he's like terribly inaccurate on those. And yeah, I didn't like the pick either. I would assume that with COVID, the weird training camp, no preseason games, that it one, they don't have enough, you know, footage, gameplay, analysis on him. And two, it doesn't make sense to kind of throw him out there and possibly, you know, injure him or something bad happen when they can just kind of wait on him and
for
let
sure.
Tyrod do his
especially
thing.
Especially when you do have a good team around those Chargers. I've liked the Chargers for a long time, and I think they've been better than what they performed at. And I don't think that's on Phillip Rivers. I think it's just kind of bad luck. They've just had bad luck the last few years. I mean, that defense is good. They've got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa rushing the passer. I mean, that's a great duo for rushing the passer. I mean, there's not many teams that have that type of duo. Sure, the Broncos do, and a couple other teams do as well, but that's an elite pass rushing duo. You get their receivers, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, good receivers. Keenan Allen's a great receiver. I like Austin Eckler out of the backfield. I don't know if you can call him a local boy, but he went to Western here in Colorado, so that's pretty cool to see a D2 guy kind of finally get his shot at starting. So I think what we'll see is if the Chargers haven't won more than three or four games come the last quarter of the season, then that's really when Herbert's going to be talked up. But if they're right there in the like chasing for that last spot of the playoffs, because they did add one more spot this year, I think it's Tyrod Taylor's job for the year.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know if Tyrod has enough skill and play left to get those wins, because you know he's kind of been on the downhill slide you know, ever since he kind of left Buffalo.
Yeah, it kind of seems like everybody signs him and then they get the next big thing, whether it was Nathan Peterman for the Bills that didn't really turn out well.
Yeah,
and then Baker and now Herbert. So, and he's talked about it on Hard Knocks, and he said, look, I've been here before. I know what it's like to have this new, young, hip thing behind you. That doesn't bother me. So I don't know if he was saying that at all last year. He might, or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We'll see. I like the Chargers to slink in as that last wild card
really?
Spot. Yeah, I think they'll be better than the Broncos for sure.
Hmm.
And definitely better than the Raiders, so...
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't.
I'm
I don't
bullish
know.
On this Chargers.
I think, you know, it didn't help that they lost Derwin James.
Yeah.
That 6 to 8 months. That's going to hurt them a lot. You know, they but they still have, you know, a like you said, a really good defense. So we'll, I guess it'll be interesting to see. It's hard for me to make any good predictions on
for
the
sure.
Chargers.
I mean, we talked about it at the top of the show. We haven't seen any preseason games.
Yeah, so you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, so
who
knows how these teams mesh and who comes firing out the best. They've got the same head coach as they've had for the past few years, and I think that's going to be a big success point in the NFL this year. Consistency of the coaching staff, and that's what they've got. So we'll see for sure.
All right, some other news. Cam Newton named the starter in New England and also was voted a team captain.
That second part is bigger than the first part. I mean, I think that most people kind of knew that Cam Newton would be the starter because those other guys, Stidham and Hoyer, I mean, we've gotten smart enough to where we're not going to say everything Belichick says is a lie because a lot of the times it isn't. But we can also use our heads and be like, well, I mean, it's Cam Newton. That second part about him becoming the captain or being voted a captain is big because that doesn't just mean that Belichick and the organization wants him there. That means all of his teammates do as well.
Yeah, and I mean, Belichick came out and basically said, you know, that he's in the building first, he leaves last, he's one of the harder workers, he's working on things that he's not good at. He's not just working on the things that he's good at to be better. He's trying to be better at the things he's not good at. So I think he's going to be really sneaky for fantasy and just for the league as a whole. You know, if he's healthy and he's back to that, you know.
Superman.
Exactly. Superman Cam Newton, then I definitely think that there's going to be some good opportunities for him there. I think, you know, the Patriots are still pretty high up there in the top 10 in power rankings. So,
you know, I don't know if they should be up there just because they've had so many people say, hey, we're not going to play this year because of COVID on their defense.
True.
So I don't think they're going to be a bad team whatsoever, but I do like the Bills to win that division. I think it'll be interesting. The first three, 4 weeks of the season, I think we'll really know what the Patriots' plans are for the future at quarterback, because if they are running Cam Newton all the time, and not just around the goal line but throughout the field, that probably means that they only want him for a year, and they're looking elsewhere.
Right.
If he is kind of that reserved Norv Turner type of guy that sits back in the pocket and maybe does some bootlegs in the middle of the field and then let his legs go in the end zone, in the red zone, then I think they might like Cam Newton for the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get a couple more years out of him and get some good play and make the playoffs, then, you know, they might be all about it. I thought they definitely were going to tank and just give it all up, but
yeah.
You know, they made that signing, and, you know, apparently it sounds like he's playing really, really good over there. So guess we'll see once the season starts. That's what I just keep saying. I'm so excited. We're just going to have to see everything.
It's a great feeling. I've had a couple fantasy drafts so far and got a few more this week, a couple more this weekend, and I just can't wait, man.
Yeah, me too. Last thing, Josh Gordon signs back with the Seahawks. Unknown if he's going to be suspended or anything like that. But he's going back to the Seahawks, which I don't know if it really has any implications for anything. He didn't really do much last year. But, I mean, it's news that happened, I guess.
Yeah, well, back end of the draft, take him as your last pick if you have any belief left in him. He's burned me too many times now. I don't want anything to do with him in fantasy. But if he can be healthy, if he can stay on the field, if he can stay out of trouble, that's a really good receiving core for the Seahawks with Lockett and DK Metcalf and now Josh Gordon.
Yeah, so I mean, he was once really, really great. You know, career kind of wasted away, but you know, depending on maybe he's cleaned up and he's back and he's been working out a lot, and you know, maybe he can surprise. I just don't think there's enough passing attempts to go around there. You know, they like to run the ball there a lot. They don't let Russ cook, as we say on the internet. So you know, it's newsworthy, but it's not newsworthy. I think we're all caught up to date for now. We'll see, you know, in the next couple of days, a lot's going to be happening. But we're going to talk some baseball coming up. The Rockies, is their season still savable? Can they make the playoffs? What should the Rockies do? All that coming up next.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torching yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence,
really?
Flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Pretty young Popsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Popsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
All right, the Rockies, the Colorado Rockies. They have not been great as of late, sadly. They got off to one of the hottest starts they probably have ever had. They were first in the MLB. Everyone was really excited. It sounded really, really, really great. Looked really great for the Rockies. And over, I'd say probably the last month, maybe even less than that, but it's about the last month, they have completely disappeared. They are currently sit at 18-19, so one game under 500. They lost to the Giants 23-5 on Tuesday night, which does not even. I think Drew Butera started pitching in that game.
Yes,
that's how bad it got. You know, they lost 13-2 to the Padres last Sunday. Just some really, really brutal games. They finally got a win yesterday, and now they're going to LA to play the Dodgers for the weekend. Now, currently, they're the last seed team in the playoffs, so their chances of making the playoffs are still good, but, I mean, can you trust the Rockies after some of these performances?
Yes. So, I'm going to take this from a couple directions. So, one's kind of fun. There's this kind of theory out there on Twitter that not every single Colorado sports team that plays in the same day, they can't all win.
Okay.
So what the Rockies have been doing, they've been sacrificing themselves.
I like that.
And so that's why you see the Rockies lose 25-2
to the Giants.
And then the Nuggets come back and win down 3-1, move on to the next round. That's why you're going to see the Avs win tomorrow. Once they get going, they're going to be all right. Okay. So yesterday, I think, has the potential to be a turning point for this team. They were down big again. They were down like 6-1
yep.
early in like the fifth inning.
Yep.
That had a huge sixth inning, scored, I guess, a huge seventh inning. I'm sorry. Scored five runs in the seventh to take the lead. Hilliard hit a home run. Their new acquisitions made a big impact in that game. Pilaro went 2-for-5. He hit a triple. Michael Givens got the win. So I think if the Rockies can take two from the Dodgers this weekend, I don't know if they can, but if they don't just get shellacked, even if they do get swept, if they lose some 2-1 games, some 6-5 games, I'm okay with it because you're not catching the Dodgers. What you need to do is you need to keep your head above water and they need to just keep fighting because this team isn't what they were at the start of the season. We know that. They're not this powerhouse of an offense and this powerhouse of a pitching staff. Their bullpen isn't the greatest bullpen in the league this year, but they're also not going to lose 25-2 ever again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So they're somewhere in between there, and somewhere in between there still lies a very good team. Well, you just look at this lineup. Nolan, Trevor, Charlie, McMahon, if he can put something together, he's got some pop. Murphy's been relatively good this year, especially in the beginning, and he even kind of was dragging this team a little bit when Blackman stopped dragging the team, where they've got so much potential. If David Dahl can come back healthy and if he can learn how to swing a bat again, Hilliard, we've seen great signs from Hilliard. He's not only good on defense, he's got a great bat, and he can run the bases. So I still have hope for this team. Chris Owings was a big help at the beginning of the year. His bat looked good, but he got hurt. So I think once they kind of get some guys back and kind of get back in the mojo again, get their swagger back, I think things will turn around.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting thing for me is, and I'm going to be Mr. Negative because that's just what I like to do with the Rockies. Their starting pitching, you know, has been such a roller coaster. And even for the guys who are supposed to be their best pitcher or supposed to be that number two, they're having games where they're, you know, they're letting up six runs in the first three innings. They're having those bad games. Nolan looks lost at the plate. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's pressing. He needs to loosen up his grip on that bat and just, you know, have some fun out there and get some hits. Because you can tell he's just trying
Nolan's not very good at having fun.
No, and he's like terrible with runners in scoring position. Just like absolutely terrible. I wonder if David Dahl is more hurt than they're letting on, and that's why they traded for Pilar, you know, to come in and play center.
Yeah,
they didn't trust Hampson or anyone else to play that position.
I think they definitely trust Hampson to play it. What I think it is, they don't trust Hilliard to play it, because he never played it coming up. He was his first game in center field ever was in the majors last year.
Okay.
So I think that's more of the issue. I think they do trust Hampson, but the thing is, Hampson's so versatile that they're going to need him at second base sometimes when they face lefties. And so I think that's why they traded for him. And just because he is the type of prototypical outfielder for the Rockies on the defensive side, because you need speed in that outfield because it's so big.
I mean, the thing that killed the Rockies last year was that they couldn't hit when they needed to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Going into that playoff series with the Brewers, none of them felt like they wanted to hit the ball.
Yep.
And that has been a story that has plagued them throughout. There's been one person who's been hitting and everybody else has not. And then the next person gets hot and everyone else gets cold. So they can make the playoffs as the 16th seed all they want. They're not going to make it very far unless they can somehow figure out to get some of that chemistry together where they're all going at the same time. But I don't have high hopes for this team after kind of this monumental collapse. The only reason that they are in that 16th seed and have playoff hopes is because the rest of the NL is pretty much garbage.
Yeah, I will say before we get into the rest of the NL, I still think this pitching staff can put enough together to make a run. They just need to get hot at the right time because they have the talent. They do. Aaron Marquez has some of the best stuff in baseball. He might not be able to always put it together because he's trying to throw the ball at mile high and then throw it at sea level the next week. So Kyle Freeland, he's kind of a guy that maybe he doesn't have the best stuff, but he can locate it. And John Gray's kind of right there with Ramon Marquez, where he doesn't have the stuff Marquez does, but he's still a good pitcher. And Antonio Senzatella has been a nice surprise this year, and he's been good. He hasn't been great. He's been good for a Rockies pitcher, and we'll see what this last start for Castellini did.
Yeah,
ooh, because
golly,
I swear the Rockies, all they do is find people that are complete head cases, and they start out good, and then all of a sudden some little thing goes wrong and they just explode. I think that's kind of what we saw with Castellini last time.
Definitely.
Because he was great, and like maybe he didn't go very deep into the games because he's still young and they're trying to watch that arm, but yeah, it is a blessing that the rest of the National League is also underperforming.
Yeah, I mean, you have in the Central, you have the Cardinals at 500, you got the Brewers at 17 and 19, Reds 16 and 21, and the Pirates 11 and 24. And then when we look over to the East, you got the Braves that are 22 and 14, looking good. The Phillies are just two games over 500. Marlins are at 500, then Mets and Nationals are both pretty far below 500. So, you know, the Rockies are lucky, I think, in that aspect. You know, when they were, what were they, like 16 and 4 or whatever, 12 and 4, I had read something, and I believe I was either on this show or another show, and I said, as long as the Rockies go 500 from here on out, they're making the playoffs. And then right after that, they're like, I guess we'll just go to 500. If you want us to go to 500, we'll go to it right now, which, I mean, I've been a Rockies fan for a very long time, you know, born and raised here, and you're just kind of used to it.
For sure.
You know it's coming. It happens.
It still rips my heart out every single time.
And
I'll tell you what, the Rockies did get lucky. Their big bugaboo for the past 5, 6, 7 years has been the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They always seem to play them too tough. A lot of the times the Diamondbacks aren't great, and they just seem to have the Rockies' number. They traded away their team.
Yeah, they just gave up. They said, well, we're not going to play anymore.
So that's huge for the Rockies.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they still got a lot of games against the Diamondbacks this year, but... But yeah, it does just kind of seem like this is kind of what the Rockies do. They just are such a streaky team, and I think it goes back to they need to hire some sort of coach that they just need to hire a psychiatrist, and everybody has to sit down with them an hour a day, and that's all. This like maybe they need three of them because they've got 25 players now. So
yeah, I mean, have some type of psychologist that kind of like mentally prepares them for coming back to Coors Field and like, hey, your curveball's not going to break anymore. You know, let's talk about this for an hour. So when you go out there and it doesn't do what you want it to and you let up a home run on the first pitch of the game, you don't lose your mind and then let up six runs.
That's not necessarily on you.
Right,
exactly. That is just kind of the nature of the beast.
And I've always wondered why they haven't done something like that. You would think that they would, but
they
apparently.
Have, especially because they have been so, like, just kind of on the front edge of, like, a lot of the new pitching waves. A few years ago, they went to the four-man. They tried to do the four-man rotation, and then they tried to do a six-man rotation, and just all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. Hopefully that's coming down the line because they need it.
I pray. We pray for the Rockies. So, you mentioned earlier, little Game 7 action, little Round 2 action. We got two teams in the playoffs, the Nuggets, the Avalanche. Nuggets play tonight against the Clippers, round two, and the Avalanche are going to a game seven. We're going to break down both those matchups coming up next. This is the locker room, or the press box, on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Beat On Air network.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama,
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, man. What's wrong?
I'm feeling lost.
Lost?
Yeah. I feel like my choices in life aren't getting me anywhere. And I feel like I don't have a voice.
Well, did you know that the Colorado Media School is the perfect way for you to get that outlet?
Really?
Yeah. Because at the Colorado Media School, you can have a voice. Enrollment starts today. So find your voice at beonair.com. It's changed my life. Let it change yours.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
All right, Nuggets playoffs. They came back from 3-1, and they won Game 7 two nights ago against Utah Jazz in what was reminiscent of a 1980s basketball game. I believe the final score was 80-78. You could tell by the end of that game that there was some huge jello legs going on. You know, they couldn't jump to
shoot.
So sloppy. It was really, really bad, and unfortunately decided to bet the over on that game. So
I think a lot of people did. I was seeing it all throughout Twitter and
did
everywhere.
Not work out, unfortunately, but it was a good game, really exciting. And the Nuggets tonight, they're going to be playing against the LA Clippers on basically a day and a half rest. You know, that game got over pretty late Wednesday. Tuesday, excuse me.
Yes.
They had Wednesday off and now they're playing the Clippers tonight. While the Clippers, I think, have been off for 2 or 3 days, they closed out the Mavericks, I think, earlier in the week. So kind of just wanted to go in and see, you know, do the Nuggets have a chance? Is this going to be a clean sweep by the Clippers? You know, what are the range of outcomes for this series and this game tonight?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think the Nuggets can win one or two games, but I just don't have a lot of hope for them. Like you said, they're coming off a zero rest pretty much. I mean, a day and a half compared to the Clippers beat the Mavs on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So,
jeez.
Yeah, I mean, that's half a week. That's 5 days or so. So I don't have a lot of hopes for this game. The line is at +1.5 right now. Or, God, that would have been quite like, the line. +9.5 for the Clippers. Clippers are -9.5. So that's a big line for game one. I'd be tempted to take the Clippers.
Yeah, I just don't see how they're going to be able to compete tonight. A lot of people are saying, yeah, I think they're going to win the first game, and I think they definitely lose tonight, but, you know, probably steal a game or two in game two or game three like that.
It's tempting to just kind of say, let's not run Murray out there to begin with. Let's see how some other people can kind of do off the start.
Yeah, I mean, he had the injured, he was injured, I think his hamstring or his quad, he was basically fully healthy, and then Joe Ingles kneed him in the quad, aggravated that. You could tell he was limping, and he basically wasn't the same after that. He couldn't really make a shot. I think he had 12, 15 points going to the half, and that injury happened right near half, and I think he finished with like 17 points or something like that. You know, he didn't really end up doing much. Joker stepped it up, which was great.
For sure.
But, you know, they got Gary Harris back. You know, he doesn't have a shot. He wasn't making anything, but at least he was playing defense, for which sure. is good.
And that's what they needed.
Right, and so it'll be, you know, interesting to see if Michael Porter, you know, will step up. He has some really interesting shot selection, if you ask me. You know, sometimes he just pulls up and take threes or takes jumpers when he doesn't need to, ill-advised stuff. But, I mean, he's a young guy. He's
got the talent.
Yeah, exactly. And so he just, you know, is trying to get himself hot. But definitely I don't have high hopes for tonight. You never know what could happen if they, you know, the Nuggets are as good as we hope that they are. And you know, they have that experience from last year bringing it into this year, then maybe they can grind out this series. But the Clippers are stacked, you know.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the thing that I think the Clippers are more talented than Nuggets, for mm-hmm, sure.
Definitely.
I don't think nobody can really argue that. I think what it comes down to is this team going to be able to just grind out games, like you said earlier? Because that's everybody counted them dead to rights against the Jazz after they went down 3-1.
Right.
And deservingly so, because they didn't play well. I mean, they got, it was ugly. It was like, it wasn't even the playoffs. It looked how the Nuggets players were treating the game. So if they can kind of show what they did those last three games of the Jazz series here, and it, not, like we said, not tonight, but the next few games, if they can show that, if they can play some gritty basketball, focus on defense, make your shots when you get them, then I think they have a chance to make this a series again. I wouldn't put any money on them to win the series, even though I may have already put a bet on them at the beginning of the whole bubble situation. I have a parlay, put $5 in. If the Nuggets, Avs, and Rockies all win championships, $85,000 in the pocket.
Hey, that'd be nice.
That would be crazy. Not going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah,
my hopes just aren't
yeah,
high.
Yeah, I mean, It's gonna be tough for the Nuggets for sure. Switching a little bit over to the Avs, they were down 3-1, and they've been able to grind out to a game 7. I think personally, they only went down 3-1 because of the physical goon squad type cheap play that the Dallas Stars, kind of demonstrate on the ice. Rattled the Avs that they weren't ready for that type of yep. game. You know, and it's hockey, and I get it. You're hitting, and there's a lot of that going on. But I just don't think the Avs were ready for that type of mental and physical abuse. And it kind of got in their heads. And, you know, Kadri didn't have one penalty in the Phoenix series, in the yep. Coyote series. And then he had, like, 8 in the first 3 games of the yeah. Dallas series. And you can just tell that they're rattled. But again, they grinded it out. You know, they had some unfortunate – I think some of those losses were pretty unfortunate with the way the goals were scored by Dallas. And they kind of grinded it out, and they said, well, we're not going to let you get in our heads. We're just going to let our skill show. And last night they won 4-1.
Yep.
And kind of showed their skill. You know, that beautiful McKinnon to Rantanen goal. I mean, kind of shows, hey, you know – you guys can't compete with us. You can play as dirty as you want, but we have the skill to win. So I think that kind of was the turning point. I feel really good about them going into game 7.
I do too. I think as long as I look at this as it's not we have to win 3 games in a row, because they've already won 2 in a row. You have to win 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they have to do, win 1 game. And they are the more talented team. They're the most talented team in the NHL. I think it's been amazing what they've done with 3 different goalies in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's some tough breaks there with Grubauer, but I like what Michael Hutchinson's done. He's had a few good saves this last game on Wednesday, and I just think how talented this team is and how they've gotten hot the last couple games. It's all about the hot team in hockey playoffs,
right?
So I like this team to continue their run, because I don't think it's over for them. I mean, it's completely different from the Nuggets, because like I just said, they are the most talented team in the NHL. And whoever they face up against, I am not worried about.
Yeah, definitely. Odds on favorite going into the playoffs.
Yep.
They, you know, as long as they don't let, like, Dallas is going to come out extra hard tomorrow, and they're going to go after them way harder than they probably ever had. But that's going to be a disadvantage for Dallas because they're going to be in that mindset of we got to get in their heads and we got to injure them. We got to, you know, hurt them. We got to mess with them to try to draw them into penalties because the Avs have not been good on penalty kill. They've been absolutely terrible.
Oh, awful.
So they got to be able to limit that as well as just kind of like we said, let that skill and let that talent show through because they are the best. I mean, McKinnon, I think he has, what, 14 straight games with a point.
Yep. He's playing lights out, man. That's what you need from your superstars. Again, to bring it back to the Nuggets a little bit, that's what the Nuggets don't have. They don't have a superstar like McKinnon who can just fully put the team on his back. Yeah, Murray scored 50 points, but he's not that vocal leader that McKinnon is. McKinnon is the lifeblood of this team, and if he continues to play like he has, and there's no reason to think he won't, it's going to be a fun rest of the playoffs.
Definitely, I think so. I mean, I was very high on them coming into the playoffs. It'll be interesting. You know, Vegas is up 3-2, and I think they play tonight against Vancouver. Yep. So if they win, they're going to take that series. And then it'll be Avs Vegas Knights, which they played for the number one seed at the beginning of this little bubble thing. And that was a pretty good game, and it was interesting. So I think that could become a very interesting series if it goes to that. Another hard-fought one. I don't think there will be any sweeps or anything like that.
For sure. I think that's another one. You're probably going to see it go for all seven games. You're going to see another game seven next round. I do want to say the over-under for this Avs game tomorrow is set at 6.5. Hammer that over.
Definitely.
I think it's not going to be a game like yesterday. I think it's going to be a game where we do score a lot of goals, kind of like where both teams score a lot of goals because I think like you kind of said with the Stars, they're going to be out. They're going to be hitting. I think we're going to see a lot of penalties again tonight, and it's just going to be about what the Avs can do to stay out of the box as much as they can.
Definitely. So we'll see. You know, tonight, Nuggets, Clips. Tomorrow, you got Dallas and the Avs. A lot of cool stuff going on in Colorado sports. Football, 7 days from today. I'll be counting it down.
We've got FBS games tonight.
I think – oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like UAB, I can't remember who else is playing, but yeah, we got college football tonight.
College football's back. We got playoffs. You know, a couple of months ago, you didn't think sports were ever going to come back, and now look at us now. We're bathing in it.
Mm-hmm.
We're loving it. So, been a great show today. Great time. I was Corey, Jacob, Jen on the boards. We're crushing it. This has been the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com, part of the Beat on Air Network.